You can now hear the rebroadcast of some of your favorite live programs on KNEL Podcast. KNEL has a variety of podcasts to choose from, including news, sports, talk radio, faith, and inspiration. For a list of KNEL podcasts, visit KNEL Radio homepage and look for podcast. Click on the podcast of your choice and listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio News, KNEL Sports, Hillbilly Hits, At Home with Debbie Rule, and The Network Live. KNEL making a difference with podcasts just for you.
90 AM in Brady, streaming live at KNELradio.com. And good to have you with us for today. Our morning program brought to you by Mason Building Supply, your hometown general store in Mason. This morning we have with us a guest, and that is Dr. Hector Martinez, superintendent of the Brady Independent School District's Board of Trustees. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Great. Not bad. How are you doing?
Well, if it turned on the microphone, you'd be better.
Okay, wonderful. How are you doing then?
I'm doing fine. I'm fine, I guess, although I forgot to turn on the microphone. That's fine. But aside from that, the school board met last night. You had a lengthy agenda. But one of the things that was there, you had several members of the public, parents or grandparents of students, who came forward to express their opinion of what they said was an incident that occurred in the middle school sometime earlier this year, in which they felt that was inappropriate material used or shown to, or I'm not sure what the best description would be, and I'll let you tell me that, to the students, and that they were concerned about it. They seemed to be a feeling that I got, just listening to them, that they were concerned, that they wanted to make sure express their, disapproval of the whatever may have happened. That they, in some cases, may have felt like they didn't get a good explanation, or they weren't sure what has happened as a result. Mm-hmm. And with that, but there was also, an opposing view brought forward by a paraprofessional who said, wait a minute, I was in the classroom and it didn't happen that way. Yes. So we have, that sort of background, and with that, give you the opportunity to. From your standpoint, where do we stand?
Absolutely. Again, of course, that open forums for anyone to come in and voice their concerns about anything that they have with their school district or any concerns that they have. And did have an opportunity to listen to the individuals that were there. Again, you saw some that had some opposing views of what was viewed in the class. And I just want to let you know from the school standpoint, all those parents who had concerns had an opportunity to visit with the teacher there in the school district. You did hear that there were some that came in to visit with the principal and visited with the assistant superintendent and superintendent. Again, at the school, if something's brought to our attention, we take that serious. And we look into it and we investigate, and we hold our folks accountable for that. Again, I would say that there were some you heard some sides. There were some things that to me on a view that weren't accurate, but I won't get into those particular details. It there was some information that was brought up or alleged that, they've had visits or they've heard this or they've heard that. Well, there are some things that they weren't quite accurate there. But again, we do our due diligence, on our campus to investigate mm-hmm. those particular things. And we'll do that with any of our case. And again, the allegations at the time that were some materials that were inappropriate, we looked into it, investigated, and, what we took care of the personnel matter, on campus or incident.
From your standpoint, I guess the obvious question is: was there anything that was done wrong, inappropriately?
Yeah, there may to the level that that there were pictures that or images that were brought up. Again, we investigated those particular images, and we could not confirm that those images were reviewed. Were seen. So again, from our standpoint. Perhaps the material, I won't get into the material, but again, images that were alleged that were seen, we could not confirm, all of those images that were being passed around.
They were in the classroom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And as far as the next steps, is it, from the school standpoint, or are you you know, you finish there, you sort of resolve the issue, yeah. or from your standpoint, not.
Lynn, from this particular point, we're moving on.
Okay.
That was the second week of school.
Okay.
That we've had worked through this particular situation. Again, parents had an opportunity to visit with their teacher, as well as their principal, and you know all the other avenues that they had to do that.
So it's basically closed from your
yes,
standpoint.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're moving on.
Moving on.
And no particular action, I guess. Was there any sort of disciplinary action taken?
Well,
is the question.
Well, Lynn, those are personnel issues that we do not discuss.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. I understand. I appreciate that. Well, there was more to the school board meeting than just the public forum aspect to it. So what else were we up to last night from the standpoint of the school board?
Yeah, so we had a short list of items. You were there.
Yeah.
A short list of items that we've had to go through. But I think the most important, again, we'll go down to student enrollment. Student enrollment is holding steady at 790.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about school safety and how we're handling school safety in the district. And we're trying to, so for our community, if you've passed by the elementary school, we have this 8-foot fence that goes along from the elementary all the way to Vision Heights. And we've... that's an 8-foot fence, and we clean that up. And again, that is probably one of our most vulnerable areas in our view. We have that playground that sits on the back part of that elementary school. We have it's right on a major highway, you know, for us. So we wanted to be able to put up a new fence again to meet the state standards that mm-hmm. they have set for us, which is an 8-foot fence. And then also have some. We've added cantilever gates to that so that while our kids are at recess that we could shut those gates and keep them closed and not have anybody have easy access
right.
to that, to the back of that building. So, again, we're finishing up or doing some work there with school safety. The other piece that we talked about a little last night, we talked about school finance or the legislative session.
And you talked a lot about school finance.
Yes.
And where we stand with the legislation.
And I could probably talk all day, but I'll try to keep it simple.
Okay.
For us, in the school district, so like I shared with the board last night and gave them information that the state is going into the fourth special session
mm-hmm.
And this time school finance is on that call. But let me backtrack.
Okay.
And let's go to the regular legislative session. If you remember, the state had $32 billion surplus, and out of that first legislative session, the regular legislative session, there was nothing passed for school finance, increasing teacher pay, funding schools. Any of those particular items were not passed through. But of course, what probably killed that, funding was the what we call ESAs or educational savings accounts that are out there. They've been masked by all kinds of names over time: school vouchers, school choice, parental rights. But bottom line is school vouchers. So that was tied to school funding in the first legislative session. It didn't pass.
Right.
And then so now here we are. There was a third legislative or executive session, but special session that was called. Which ended November the 7th. In that third session, the governor had called specifically for the legislative group to pass educational savings accounts, period. That was his narrow focus for that session, and it just it didn't make it.
So I recall the House passed something, or
yeah,
it's the other way around. The Senate passed. And the House did not.
Yes. And so the... So in that session, the focus was very narrow. The governor's call was very narrow. It was just on educational savings accounts. It's one of his priorities. And so what does that mean, for us in the public school system? Well, you've eliminated school finance out of there, and it's just educational savings accounts. And so when we talk about educational savings accounts, what the governor is wanting is Well, I'll tell you right now, the amount for an educational savings account per year per student, if that were to pass, would be, or school voucher, would be $10,400 for a student to go to a private, use for a private school, not public school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, as a public school educator, that's a concern. As a public school educator, we do not want those tax dollars, you know, going out to pay for private school. We'd like to shore up our public school system at this time and use that for teacher pay raises and also to fully fund schools right now. Here's the, you know, here's the, if you look at it just from this standpoint and you see what we get per student as a public school district, we currently, Lynn, we currently get $6,140 or $60 per student in Brady, Texas.
In Brady, Texas.
That is our funding, which with our student population of about 975, and these are just estimates, with about 970 students in our district, we're getting roughly, and we'll just use a simple number, $6 million.
Right.
With all kinds of strings attached. How to spend the money, what programs to spend the money on, accountability, curriculum, all of those things that the state requires. Over here, for the school voucher system, ESAs, you know, we're looking at $10,000 if it passes, $10,000, roughly $400. But if you just put the pencil to that and compare us to that, and we'll just give it a number, it's about $10 million for a school our size, 970 students. $10 million. So that's about a $4 million difference. If we use someone who's going to a private school our size and we're going to give them $10,400, that's crazy. We do not, as a public educator, I don't support that.
Yeah.
And as a superintendent of a rural school, that's just not right.
Just well, one of the points that you made when you were talking to the board last night was about the money that you do get, the $6,160. There are a number of strings attached. The state tells you how to spend a number of pieces of that.
Yes, sir.
That funding.
Yes. We get from the state, we call it our summary of finance, which lines out, you know, this total amount of money that mm-hmm. we have here that says, okay, this has to go to, X number of dollars has to go to career and technology education, right. which is about almost $1 million. So we use that to fund our teachers, our programs, and all of those things. Maybe we have some that goes to special education. Well, those dollars go to special education or dyslexia or gifted and talent, you know, all of these different programs that we use. Again, very lined out, very prescriptive on, you know, where those dollars go to. Again, the accountability. We're held here to the star. Yeah. And the state assessment.
Well, that's right. You have to do a test, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
The what is in dealing with the legislature, we have a member of the state legislature who has been very vocal about some aspects of property taxes and how they support education. What's his, this is Andrew Murr, what has been his position on let's call it school vouchers and other issues
yes.
related to education from your standpoint.
Well, I have to say this. You know, Andrew Murr has been, and I shared that with the board last night, he's been on Zoom meetings with the superintendents of his districts, mm-hmm. Which has been very good for us as public school educators and superintendents of our rural schools, or for his particular district to share with him, you know, our concerns, to help educate him, let him know our concerns about this. And it appears that, you know, he's not in favor of the, he wants to support his, you know, his schools.
Yeah.
And not
so
letting
he's
that,
not, he has not been a supporter of the,
so-called
vouchers.
No,
yeah.
sir.
Okay. I'm just curious where he stood on that, as you mentioned that he'd been
But one of the things, it'll be interesting to see how this session rolls out, because this, you know, there's some bills out there right now that are in the House that include, you know, it's all tied together, school finance and vouchers. And, you know, what we'll fully fund schools, public schools,
mm-hmm.
but we also have to have vouchers with that. So we'll see how that it really puts our representatives in a tight spot.
Yes, it does.
You know, to be able to give your educators fully funding, but also have these vouchers, which, again, we're just absolutely opposed to.
Absolutely.
And something else, Lynn, that that they kick around and that I think that, that our people that are listening need to know. You know, we talk about school choice, and that's been out there for, but we've always had school choice, Lynn. If you want to go to Lone or Rochelle, you can go to Lone or Rochelle or Brady as a public school student, or Brownwood or Mason.
Yeah.
You have that choice to do that. Or you have your choice to take your student out and go homeschool. That's your choice. But now,
a private school in Mason.
And absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you have those options. Anyway, that's we could probably...
Well, the issue, though, becomes paying for it.
Yes, you're exactly right.
Some folks look at that and say, wait a minute, if I have my child in private school, the money that's being allocated, I ought to get that. And that's the basic idea.
Yes, sir.
And that's the way it goes.
Absolutely.
So but from your standpoint, though, it is something that you feel the is not in the best interest of the schools. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Yes, okay. Sir. As a public school educator, it's not in the best interest of the school. Especially our rural schools. Yep. You know, we depend on that, our rural schools, and we don't. If you just took, I think about homeschooling. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Some people, individuals, they do homeschooling right, and they do a great job homeschooling their students. But if that's tied to it. As an example, that people can use these dollars to go homeschool. I've seen a lot of our folks in different districts that I've been in, whether maybe we're running into an attendance issue, or maybe we're running into student discipline issues, or maybe the students just not, well, in most cases, students are not showing up to school. The parent will say, you know what, we're going to homeschool them. Well,
you don't know what they're getting.
I really don't know what we're getting out of that.
Yeah.
And again, not sure or clear on the rules. But again, do not get me wrong. There's some individuals, and I have some friends of mine that have homeschooled their kids, and they do a great job doing that. But there's some folks that I know aren't.
There are two elements of that that have to work be right, and that's one is the kid and the parent.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
It doesn't always work.
You know, And I think about all kinds of things that could spiral, you know, out of this school voucher thing. There was a, not too long ago, there was a, because we do have charter schools in the state as well, and there was a letter that was sent out, and you probably received a flyer in the mail that was pushing one of these charter schools, and I received a letter to the school district asking if it was okay from TEA to expand this charter's online presence where they could do school online.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the answer is absolutely no. We're not doing that. We're not taking away from our public school. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see how this all rolls out, and we'll continue to keep our eye on the ball here, and we'll continue to reach out to our representatives out there to help support us.
I just have one other question, just sort of somewhat off the subject. You know, we went through COVID and all of the things that happened with COVID. You hear, news stories from around the country about alleging that, the kids aren't doing as well because of it. It really had a negative effect on kids. In this area, have you seen anything that would sort of indicate that?
No, sir. I don't see that, I think academically we picked the pieces up. We saw that at the very beginning because we lost that three months in that spring. But we picked up, I believe we picked that up, and we've really worked hard to get our kids up to speed. And I think we've done a really good job, and I'll share this with you. I think that how we handled it here in this community is that, our kids were gone that spring, and then we came back the fall. A majority of our students were here in school. A high percentage of our students were here in school. And by that November of that fall, we had called all of our students back to the district. And I think that helped us out tremendously, having our kids in school, doing the things they needed to do. And so I think that helped us here. And so I don't see a lot of, of the things that maybe other folks are claiming out there. I think it's all due to bringing our kids back as early as possible.
I think that's the difference. If I were to come to a conclusion, it was in some of these other places that they're talking about, excuse me, they were out a long time, a lot, whereas we weren't.
Yeah.
Came back sooner than many others.
Absolutely.
And that was the difference.
I had a, you know, just thinking about the time when we're looking at enrollment and number of students coming back. I had a friend in one of the San Antonio schools in that particular mm-hmm. area that we were zooming in, and I asked, I said, how's enrollment looking for you? And he said, I'm down 1,000 students, you know. So, no, very fortunate, yeah. you know, with our community and how we adjusted to that year.
Okay. You mentioned the enrollment, 950, I think you said.
970.
70. Mm-hmm. And that is just a little bit off same last year?
So. Yeah. Actually, we're, I believe we're about 30 students or 20, 25, 30 students higher at this time than we were last year.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll continue to hold on to that.
Okay. Well, Doctor, we appreciate you being with us this morning.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Sharing with us your points of view.
Thanks again.
Okay, thank you very much. Dr. Hector Martinez, Superintendent of the Brady Independent School District.
You can now hear the rebroadcast of some of your favorite live programs on KNEL Podcast. KNEL has a variety of podcasts to choose from, including news, sports, talk radio, faith, and inspiration. For a list of KNEL podcasts, visit KNEL Radio homepage and look for podcast. Click on the podcast of your choice and listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio News, KNEL Sports, Hillbilly Hits, At Home with Debbie Rule, and The Network Live. KNEL, making a difference with podcasts just for you.